Well, good morning, church. We are so glad that you are here this morning, and I would invite you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, looking at 8 through 21. We are so grateful that Jill read for us here this morning. This is a great story. It's one that is just very powerful and one that we need to look at. But before we jump into the scriptures here, why don't we have a word of prayer? God, when things don't seem to be going the way that we want them to go, or the way that we think they should go, we can be riddled with a sense of hopelessness. We know you see our struggles and our fears and our worries. So in the midst of those things, may we see your strength and your guidance and your provision. Give us hope in a lost and weary world. Teach us through Hannah how to regain hope in our lives. Amen. Now, as many of you here in this room can attest, children don't often come the way that we expect them to come. Amy and I wanted to have children, and we tried for about 7 years to have one, and there were times when I got so frustrated, so angry with myself and with God and all of those who were having kids. I mean, multiple kids, right? And we just wanted one. And I remember thinking that about after year two, it was never going to happen, that something was off and perhaps our dream of having a child wouldn't be a reality. Another 2 years had passed, and at this point, my anger and my frustration had reached this all-time high. And I remember a specific moment when I was really struggling, and I remember all that pent-up anger and all that frustration needed to come out. And I remember heading to the sanctuary and falling before the stairs and just weeping. And I cried out loud. In fact, I cried so loud that there were a few people who came to make sure that I was all right just because of how loud I was. I mean, I was weeping because of what I thought was injustice. I was weeping because I felt Satan was robbing my joy. I was weeping because of all of the other happy faces that I needed to look at every day as a pastor, every month, every week. When people would come in with their newborns, I was weeping because of the Facebook posts of loving parents posting about their child growing, you know, 1 week pictures and 2 week pictures and so on and so forth. And here I was after 4 years of trying and nothing. I mean, no word from God, no inkling of hope, and a heart that wanted something so bad, but nothing. And I wept. And it was the second most intensely crying moment that I've ever had in my life. And I asked God why. You know, I mean, why me? Why us? Why now? And I remember just surrendering to this idea that day of never being able to have any children at all. And as I was crying and as I was weeping in that kind of hour-long tumultuous time, there was this moment where I didn't surrender to the idea of not having any kids, but I surrendered to God's will and God's direction and God's discernment for us to have a child. And I decided at that moment, while crying and while weeping, that I could no longer think about what I wanted, what I needed, but what God wanted and needed from me. I decided that I could no longer live a life of frustration and anger and fear, and that I needed to live a life of faith. I decided that I would no longer live in hopelessness and live in the hope of Christ. Now, it took another 2 years before we found out that we had Caden, and Caden was coming. And yes, I wanted to know the sex, and I wanted to know her name before she was born, and we were ready to roll. We got the room done really quickly, and I look back at my life before Caden, and I realize that I definitely was not ready to have this amazing and beautiful and smart and Jesus lover of a girl, and that in God's wisdom was so much better than mine. We didn't force God's timing or will. We waited, we prayed, and yes, for what we wanted, but for what God needed and wanted through us. I mean, it was and is an amazing moment when we found out Caden was coming, and we were and we are blessed. And whether it was going to be Caden or foster care or adoption, God's will was going to happen, and I just wanted to surrender to that will. However, friends, the journey was painful. The journey had wounds. The journey did leave me tired and weary until I realized and understood that God's will was greater than mine, that God's strength was greater than mine, God's hope was greater than my hopelessness, that God is good all the time. Now, I wonder, though, if you've had those moments when there's nothing left in your tank and you're kind of at the end and you just needed or even wanted to give up. I mean, have you ever just sat and wept? I mean, wept for hope in your life because of where you are, where your family is, where your job is, where even your church is and how the Spirit feels. Have you ever just wept because you had no clue what was going to happen next? And I think that's our hidden figure, Hannah, today. I think she experienced a lot of the same things we experience when there's no visible sign of hope. And so for a moment, let's follow Hannah into the sanctuary and see what we can learn from her faithfulness and about God's hope-giving love. Now, Hannah is married to Elkanah, and who was a very rich and had a lot of money. And he was so rich, and well, you're supposed to ask, you know, how rich was he? He was so rich. Yes, he had two wives, right? I mean, he had two families going on at the same time. I mean, wife number one was Peninnah, and she's bearing a lot of children, right? And wife number two is Hannah, and she isn't bearing any children. And Scripture shares that Peninnah was not too friendly with Hannah. In fact, she rubs the fact that Hannah cannot have children in her face. And in verse 6 of chapter 1, Peninnah says, it provokes Hannah, irritating her. So that's not fun, right? I mean, so much so that this went on year after year, and Hannah wept and she wouldn't eat. And in addition, the community at that time is not showing much love for her as well. I mean, because at that time, it's a patriarchal society, and if you're a woman and you can't have children, especially if you can't have a son, then you're just looked at as not functional. And she has this weighing on her, and so you kind of put more weight on her shoulders. And on top of that, she has a husband that kind of means well, who loves her, who kind of gives the most sacrifices at the altar for her, and he loves Hannah so much, and he's saying that he loves her, and then he turns around, and he's really not the sharpest bulb in the knife drawer, and he says, why are you so sad? And I mean, why are you depressed? And why aren't you eating? And I'm not upset with you. I mean, we're good. I mean, you don't have to worry about children. It doesn't matter to him that Hannah can't have kids, but it does to her, and he still doesn't get it. It's like us guys, right? I mean, we say kind of, you know, we got married, we're kind of in this place where we're trying to provide, right? And we're saying, here's this amazing house. I mean, look at this house, it's wonderful. I mean, doesn't that make you happy? And she's like, I'm not happy, and I'm sad. And we're like, well, why would you be sad? I mean, we have this house. I mean, everything's okay now. We don't have to worry. And how can I fix this? How can I kind of make you happy? And as men, we try and solve problems and things, and we're just trying to fix things. And some ladies are just like, well, just listen to me. I mean, just really listen to me. I mean, I'm crying here. I'm weeping. I'm sad. Be quiet. I mean, just hold me. And we're like, what do you mean? I mean, we don't have to worry about anything. We have a 401k. We have a savings plan. And we know we should be happy, right? I mean, and that's how we work sometimes. As guys, we have to take this journey from our head to our heart. And it's really long journey sometimes for us. But ladies, you could just bounce back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And guys, we live up in our head and we make this long journey. And so this is what Elkanah is doing. He's offering her things. And she's just saying, I'm sad, I'm depressed. And Hannah's saying, your other wife over there, I mean, she's not nice to me. She's not friendly to me. And I live in a society that is not looking at me nicely, and you're just kind of not getting it either. And I have no one to run to, no one to turn to. And she's full of anxiety and sadness, and she's just not in this good place. And she knows that the only place that she can go is to go into the sanctuary, to go to God, to fall on our knees and start talking to him. And that's what she does. And Hannah starts weeping before God and starts putting it all on the line, and she starts surrendering. And friends, that's scary. I mean, I don't know if you've ever kind of walked into a public place like a sanctuary, even if it's empty, and just have one of those one-on-one time with God, and you start to unveil all this deep stuff that you have within you and your concerns and your sin and what's going on, and you're kind of going from your head, and you start to feel that journey go to the heart, and you start to kind of go down, and you really don't want to go there. So when you start feeling that coming on, you're like, no, I don't want to go there. But then you're kind of getting into this really deep place of great sadness, and it just all comes on you, and you're crying, and you're weeping. And Friends, we have to have these spiritual, sacred places to go and experience God's will in our lives. We need to find sacred space in which we can just go to God with all of our hearts and all of our worries and all of our fears and just kneel down and pour our lives. We just need to let it all out to God, and we can't bear our own burdens by ourselves. And we just have to say, God, Lord, I need you. Every day I need you. I messed up. I did something dumb. I did something bad, or I'm just struggling and I'm hurting. But God, I want something bigger. I want you to come in here into this heart of mine and transform me and change me, because God, I believe you're the God of transformation. You're a God of grace. You're a God of love. You're a God of hope. So lead me and guide me. And sometimes going into that sacred space and sitting by yourself and being Hannah and not always putting words to it, just kind of surrendering to God and just weeping in front of God is what we need. And we're saying to God, come on, give it to me. I mean, I can take this. I mean, you can't do that with anybody else, right? I mean, you got to grieve, you got to worry, you got to have all these emotions and just turn around and give it to God, because you can't hold it inside of you. You can't really do anything about it yourself, but it's all you can do is just to get it out. And you start to surrender to God, and you cry and you weep and you just let it go. And you, in that moment, you find tremendous healing and tremendous hope and tremendous peace. And of the losses that you're experiencing, no matter what those losses might be, you surrender your hearts to it and you surrender to God, and that can be scary. And we all have to have this courage of Hannah, someone who is hopeless and fearful and wondering what's going to happen next, but she has this tremendous amount of hope that was found in God. And listen to what happens next. Says this in the scripture: once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting in his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house, and in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servants, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor shall ever be used on his head. I mean, that sounds like, to me, like a desperation prayer to God. Friends, we don't need more religion. We need God's presence. See, Hannah was repeating God's words back to him. If you give me a son, if you remember your servant, I will give him back to you and raise him like I was told to do. See, the law demanded the firstborn be given back to God. And so something happened to Hannah. She was intimidated and she was bullied and she felt defeated by the things that she could not control. And the scripture said she stood up, spoke hope into her situation. See, when we desire God and seek God, it becomes a God moment, friends. And in God moment, God does God things. It was her heart-to-heart prayer. It was a prayer of desperation, seeking a God that could make the impossible possible. When we say we want these moments with God, but not many of us are willing to get desperate enough to pray through, to storm the gates of heaven with our petition to God and wait for God's answer. And when God is reached out to in desperation, it gets God's attention. He hears a broken heart. He hears a seeking heart. His compassion is given to the brokenhearted. We just never seem to put our brokenness with the compassion of God so that God can do something amazing. Friends, desperation on our part brings about a compassion from God. Our desperation brings out God's hope. And anything we go through, God desires to be with us so we don't have to do it alone. See, loneliness sucks, friends, and it doesn't have to be permanent. He takes us out of captivity and despair into transformation and hope. A new creation right now, a new hope right now, a Savior that walks with us daily right now. Brothers and sisters, I believe we need to get desperate. And as long as we're lackadaisical or lukewarm about the things of our lives that burden us or cause us to lose sleep or cause us pain or deeply trouble our souls, we will do nothing or will do nothing about it except for worry and complain and grumble. We have to follow the Holy Spirit to stir us up. Hannah could have said, well, forget it. Listen, I'm done. I don't need to have any children. I'm just going to be a mom to Penn and his children, and I'll just live through her children, and I'm just going to keep my good figure, and I'll just consider it a good fortune, and I'll dedicate my time to other things. She could have said that, but she didn't. So she wanted to have children. She wanted to make a difference. She wanted to have a boy. She wanted to raise him near the Ark of the Covenant. She wanted him near the presence of the Lord God Almighty. She wanted him to bring about a revolution. Today, I believe we have to go to prayer, real prayer, prayer that looks and sounds like Hannah's prayer. Prayer that comes from the depths of our souls, prayer that moves us to be overwhelmed, prayer that causes us to cry out to God with open heart, prayer that causes us to pour out our souls to the Lord. One of the words used to describe Hannah's prayer is the word kashe, which means fierce or intense or stubborn or rigorous. See, Hannah was ready to go to battle with the Lord. She was ready to be stubborn and intense in the presence of the Lord. You see, authentic prayer changes things. Authentic and desperate prayer leads us to pour out our souls before God. Authentic, desperate, and surrendered prayer causes us to be humble and intense. It's this kind of prayer that causes us to do all we can to get a hold of God and not let go. True prayer causes us to be willing to wrestle with God. True prayer is hard work. And friends, we must be ready and willing to totally surrender everything to the Lord and sacrifice for his kingdom. Hannah's body was able to bear children. Look at the scripture. She was not barren. It says her womb was closed. And she came to the Lord and surrendered everything and was willing to sacrifice everything. She went for broke. All her chips were on the table and is now up to God. If nothing happened, it would not be because she had not done her best or promised her absolute best. She was willing to have her whole life turned upside down. She was willing to bear stretch marks, live with larger feet, lose sleep for years, have her hormones turned inside up and outside upside down, and give her a life for a new life. And when it was all over, she was willing to take this precious gift and give it to the Lord for his use. She was willing to do anything to bear fruit for God. She was willing to do anything to bring new life into the kingdom. She was willing to do anything for God to bring about a new age for his people. And if God needed someone to bear a child, Hannah was ready to step up to the plate. And friends, what happens when Hannah surrenders? When she turns everything open, God blesses her and rejoices with her and celebrates. You notice in verse 18 it says that she went away and ate something and her face was no longer downcast. Elkanah and she worshiped God and went home and made love, and God remembered her, and Hannah became pregnant. Friends, God cares about you, and he wants us to move from our head to our heart and get to the core of who we are. Because, friends, here at ECOB, we believe in the God of restoration. And we believe in the God of renewal. And we believe in the God of the resurrection. And we have a God whose healing is full and whose love is overflowing and whose grace is abundant and whose hope is beyond all measure. Friend, God wants all of us, everything. So where are you weeping this morning? Where is someone that you know weeping this morning? Where are you weeping for? And where is the hopelessness in your life or in your family, in your job? Come to the Lord and let your heart cry out to him this morning and give it all up. Give it all up. And so let's give it up this morning. Let's do this right now. And there's a board up here for this moment. And you may not come up weeping or frustrated, but perhaps you need to be encouraged to come up here and name something in your life that needs some hope injected into it. Or perhaps you need to come up here and intercede on behalf of someone else this morning where hope has been taken from their life. And so I'm going to invite the praise band to come forward. And as we sing, I invite you to come forward, to come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide to receive all of you, all of your struggles and fears and worries and those in your family and your friends. Come forward, write it out, and allow the God of hope to reign in your life. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious and hope-giving God, you gave hope to so many who called upon your name. Your answer is always there. It might not be the answer that we want. We always want the yes answer, but it could be no. And it could mean that we have to slow down a little bit, or maybe we have to grow a little bit more to understand your answer. But God, you are always there for us. Help us to learn from Hannah that sometimes we just need to get to the core of who we are and just lay it out all bare in front of you and allow you and just let go of it and let you do with what you will with us, with our situation, with our family, with our job, with our church. God, may we just release everything to you. So God, as we come forward now, as we kind of share those things in our life that maybe are hopeless, or maybe those in other people's life that just need to speak a word of hope into their life, God, may our hearts be filled with your love and your compassion and your grace, seeking you in all ways. May we be courageous like Hannah. For we pray this in the name of your Son. Amen.